Welcome to The Witty Committee. I'm Courtney.
And I'm Claire, and this week we're reading the second book in the Gallagher Girl series. It's such a wordy
Gallagher
title.
Girl, yeah, for sure.
Gallagher Girls series, Cross My Heart and Hope to Spy. Before we get into it, Courtney, tell me a little bit about what you've been reading, watching, or doing outside the podcast this week.
So outside the podcast this week, I started watching Wednesday on Netflix. It is so good. Okay.
I feel like this is a very typical thing for us to do, you and I, where we wait like 4 to 5 months until something is no longer
popular.
Was it
really 4 to 5 months since it came out?
I think it was around Halloween.
That totally makes sense. 4 months. Okay, yeah. I hadn't thought about that.
And so we wait and just – then we try it, because then if we try it and we don't like it, then we're not like failing everyone else around us.
Mm-hmm. But it was so good.
It was really good.
I haven't finished it yet, but I'm like 2 episodes away from finishing it, and I'm really enjoying it.
Okay. Tell me what you're liking about it.
It's spooky for sure. It's like, it doesn't take itself too seriously, but it does sort of operate under certain assumptions that I appreciate. So it's like, I am vaguely familiar with the existing Addams family, like what it had been in the past, like Morticia and Gomez and Lurch and Wednesday, etc. Like, I understand that, but I'm not so caught up in like, are there ghosts in this, or is it just sort of like, this is one creepy family and then everyone else is normal? And so it takes place at a school where everyone is a little bit weird, and I thought that they were just sort of making like jokes at first about like, oh yeah, these are werewolves and like this is a Gorgon, and then I'm like, oh wait, no, he does have snakes in his head.
So it's a magic school.
It's a magic school, but like the entire, it's not like a secret magic school, like everyone knows it. And it's very much like just part of the way the world works.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, we love, you know, a fun little boarding school moment. If you could not tell.
Love it.
I'm glad to hear that you're loving that.
Yeah.
Outside the podcast this week, David and I are also throwing it back to high school. And I am rewatching Glee. David is joining me on his first ever watching of Glee, and the show is so hilarious. 100% could not have been made now, but it is just so funny, and honestly the music is really good, and I just forgot how good of a show Glee is.
Glee's such a good show. I haven't recently been rewatching it, but I did watch a multiple part YouTube analysis of Glee from Mike's Mike. So good.
I mean, it's just, the main thing for me is knowing now that Ryan Murphy basically looked at each of these kids, saw their personal insecurities, and then wrote them into the script. It's so demonic and amazing at the same time. Also, it's really hard not to watch it and be like, is this show cursed?
Oh, it's for sure cursed. Like, if you think about it, but Ryan Murphy then proceeded to go on and create several American Horror Story anthology shows. And I think that Glee was the first American Horror Story.
I think that's valid. I think the difficult thing for me is like watching it and being like, wow, Cory Monteith, so sad. Wow, Mark Salling, less sad. Naya Rivera, wow, so sad.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird to encounter
the ratio of tragedy to like popularity that happened on that show is like, it was so big. And then everyone else's career who isn't dead has like gotten to a weird place, and yet like what you really know about it is like Lea Michele is insufferable allegedly, and then three people died in like tragic ways, and then everyone else is just sort of like living their life
or on a podcast about it,
a rewatch podcast where they're like, it's so wrong for like this TV show to exploit what happened to us, or and, like, make a tell-all series, and it's like, that should be me doing a tell-all series.
Or they are winning The Masked Singer, multiple Laurence Olivier Awards, and like killing Broadway like Amber Riley. She's the only one that's like actually made it out alive.
Yeah. And even she's like making it out alive, but like not as much as she should be, you know? Like she should be bigger.
Oh, she should definitely be bigger. I fully agree with you on that. I do think she is huge. She was Effie on the West End revival of Dreamgirls, which is like her. It's the best role you could ever put her in.
I just think that she should be more of a household name.
Agreed. I think that's fair. I think she should definitely be as big or bigger than Lea Michele.
Yeah. But Lea Michele is only so big because people dislike her. And so I'm like, what's the trade-off here? Is it the people you know True. By like name are people who you don't like? Or something
she
bad
wouldn't
happened
know because she can't read.
She wouldn't know. But she's starting to lean into that joke, which I appreciate. Like, if someone had a joke that I couldn't read, yeah. I would absolutely like lean into that. That's the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, the Barbara Streisand memoir. And she was like, oh, guess I better learn how to read. That was funny.
Yeah.
Now we should just start making fun of her buckle fat removal.
The buckle fat. Oh, my God. Did you see they're giving Barney buckle fat removal?
Oh, my God. No, but that sounds horrific.
It was so funny.
Okay. Well, Courtney's going to put that in the show notes, that which she has not done in two seasons, but I will make her do this season.
In my defense, it's a lot of screenshots of random things that we say where I'm like Googling Barney buckle fat removal.
It's totally fine. But I'm sure that Courtney can find plenty of screenshots or maybe even some snapshots from our own experience from this book. Courtney, this book had lots of field trips in it. Wouldn't you agree? Places that we may have been even multiple times together.
Yes, there was a lot of DC content in this, which I really appreciated. But overall, Claire, I want to get your 10 out of 10 vibes compared this book to last book.
Ugh.
Where are you at?
I have so many opinions. I think it was better than last book, but there's so many things that I really didn't enjoy.
Really?
Like, yes, I really hated one of the new main characters. He made me very angry.
Really? Who did you hate?
Yes.
Did you hate Josh?
Zach.
Zach? Not Josh.
I hated Zach.
Zach? I love Zach.
No, I hated him.
Maybe it's because of my penchant for douches, but I love Zach.
Yeah, no, he was so douchey and so annoying. And
like, he's clearly like, such, he's trying to be this like suave Lothario 007 guy.
Like, cool guy, yeah. And the main thing that bugs me is that, like, okay, they're 15 and 16, they're max 16 years old, yeah. These people. And like, the whole thing about being a Gallagher girl is like this idea of trust and sisterhood and this like safety that comes with it. And I understand that he's supposed to disrupt that, right? But like, I think that when you are become a part of an institution that means something, then you should also honor and respect those rules. I say this as someone who would get very drunk before our very important sorority ritual. So I know I'm talking out of my ass. I did a lot. I'm sorry. Courtney's face right now. She's so shocked by this. Yeah, I would drink before a lot of them.
I was ritual chair.
I know you were ritual chair, which is why I don't think I've ever told you this. Yeah, no, Erica and I used to go to TGI Fridays and drink Long Island iced teas before chapter.
TGI Fridays?
Yeah.
You couldn't even do me the decency of drinking somewhere decent?
Well, no, because I could use my G-World.
You can use your G-World plenty of places. You can use your
Not for alcohol.
Really?
Yeah, they would not let you buy drinks anywhere except for TGI Fridays.
Long Island iced teas? You needed to be that fucked up to sit through ritual?
No, it wasn't a need thing. It was an experience thing.
I'm ashamed of you.
I think you may have already graduated at this time.
Well, I'm but still maybe not because... ashamed of you.
Anyway, yeah, don't love Zach. He really bugged me. But let's talk about how we got to meet Zach. And some of our new people. Or tell me, what was your ranking? Did you love this book as opposed to last book?
This book is like, I love this, the first book. The first book is great. It has like a very special, it sounds like me every season. This book has a very special place in my heart. This book series, I think, is just so fun and different, but also exactly the same.
It feels very different though. I mean, it does feel exactly the same as the Click books. That's the main thing.
And I think that's part of the reason why I like
back to it.
I think that's something that I like about it. But Josh is just such a nothing burger. Mm-hmm. Like, he's such a...
Zach. Oh, no.
Josh. Josh is such a milquetoast character that I'm literally like, what is the point? Like, you could be replaced with a cardboard cutout of anybody.
A boy.
And it wouldn't matter. You could be Jake from State Farm for all I care. Jake from State Farm has more personality than you.
Did you see that TikTok of the girl who carried around a cutout of Niall Horan her entire senior year of high school and they put him in the yearbook? Like 82 times and you had to like try to find where he showed up to school events. It's like, that's better than Josh.
I did not see that, but I love that. That's hilarious.
It was amazing. And like the teachers got into it and they made her bring the Niall Horan cutout as her prom date.
I love that.
And she was like, I don't want to bring him to prom. And the teacher was like, no, you have to do it.
And then he gets voted prom king. I love that. I haven't seen that, but yeah, he's literally such a nothing person. And in this book, he's a little bit less of a nothing person, but only by proxy of being near Zach. Like, Zach has just more personality in his pinky finger than Josh does.
Yeah, and I think we realized that that was going to change end of last book, that, like, Josh was not lasting. But I guess for me, the difference in these books and the Click books is that, like, I'm craving a little bit more bitchiness. And that's the best thing I can say, is that, like, I just want someone to be a little bit cuntier
but
in these books.
Not Zach. You want it to be a girl.
He's not bitchy. He's, like, frustrating.
Sure.
It's different.
It's different.
He's not serving anything.
He's not giving.
He's not giving. It's not Slay. I don't know what the kids say these days.
Well, I would say in 2007 when this book came out, it definitely was not Slay.
It was definitely not Slay. Jess texted me the other day and said that someone was giving something the Riz, and I had no clue what she was talking about.
Well, she works with children.
She had to explain it to me. I know. She works with teens. She had to explain it to me, and I was like, wow, please don't ever say that again. I really hate it. But yeah, so this book opens up on Cammie coming back from Christmas vacation early because she has to debrief the CIA about her relationship with Josh and the possible implications of, like, revealing the Gallagher Girls secret. The best part of this sequence to me was the fact that the secret entrance to the CIA debriefing is in a dressing room at, like, I guess, like, the Nordstrom's in Pentagon City Mall.
Yeah, that was giving Slay.
I loved it. I was like, oh my God.
They're like,
so much
we
fun.
Have new jeans in from Milan. Ooh, secret code.
Yeah, it's like, oh, room 7. And it's so great. And she goes and she, like, tells the CIA all about her, like, secret relationship. And
secret tunnel.
Yeah, exactly. When her mom comes to pick her up, she's like, oh, did you see the whole thing, mom? Like, assuming that her mom was going to be, like, on the other side of it, of the, like, interrogation room, I guess.
Yeah, she literally gets polygraphed, and there's, like, a interrogation room with the double-sided glass, and her mom doesn't even watch it, which is so when your mom has to step out of your dance recital and misses your big performance because she has to take a call. Like, it's so sad.
Oh my God, that never happened to me. Did that happen to you?
It didn't happen to me exactly like that, but, like, I can just imagine how Cammie feels, being like, this was my first government interrogation and you missed it?
Exactly. Yes. Oh my gosh. But her mom seems very distressed about something. And so she gets back to school and she's like, I wonder what mom is distressed about. And she goes to go up to her dorm room and she realizes that she can't get through her usual, like, secret path.
Secret tunnel is really the theme of this
episode. Secret tunnel. Yeah. It really is. That should be the title for sure. Anyway, she can't get through the way that she usually does because they've shut off the East Wing. There's a couple of books. Okay, when I was reading this book, a couple of things came to mind. First thing was that the Bratfest at Tiffany's book from the Click.
Oh, yes.
Very similar. But also, lots of Harry Potter references. Nobody can go in the East Wing. There is not a three-headed dog, but there could have been.
For
basically,
me, what
East Wing
I was confused about was, so apparently the East Wing is not currently dormitory rooms. It's like other uses of rooms, classrooms, I guess, just ways to get to the dorms that Cammie typically uses. And so it adds 10 minutes onto their commute to class every day. But it's so interesting. I know Claire and I brought this up repeatedly, but, like, in these books, there just seems to be an abundance of dorms.
Of space. Yes.
Like, they're just closing off this entire wing of this school, which is built out of a mansion. And that's not going to add any problems in terms of the actual confinement of space.
Apparently not. But Cammie is immediately suspicious about this. Layered on to the fact that she overhears her mom and Mr. Solomon talking about Blackthorn. And she's like, what is Blackthorn? And she brings it to her friends. And they're all like, oh my God, it's a secret mission. There's poison roses. They're going to launch an attack against a bunch of rogue florists. They're trying to figure out what Blackthorn would be. And they finally decide that Cammie is going to use her Sunday evening dinner opportunity to snoop on her mom. And they do so by Liz making some crafty crafts and turning Cammie's new watch into a camera. And she snoops and she ends up finding a photo of her dad and Mr. Solomon. And Mr. Solomon is wearing a shirt that says Blackthorn Academy on it.
Blackthorn School for Boys.
Blackthorn School is for
Boys.
Boy
spy school.
And so they try to figure out more information about this boy spy school. and they are unlucky. Macy pulls a Hermione Granger and says, and tries to ask one of their professors about it. And the professor is like, there may have once been schools for other spies, but they no longer exist. And like is being very evasive about it. One professor that is less evasive per se, but more invasive in people's, you know, day-to-day lives, Mr. Solomon, kidnaps the girls and takes them on a helicopter flight to DC, where they are going to have to learn counter surveillance. That's what the word, my brain,
yeah,
sorry.
So they have to make it counter surveillance from where they're dropped off to the Dorothy Wizard of Oz Red Shoes exhibit at the Smithsonian. A classic exhibit, it's still there. But they have to make it there by 5 or 6 p.m. without being tailed. And so they all split off and they're all like making sure that they aren't being caught. And one by one, they're getting picked off. And Cammy eventually...
They have no clue who's tailing them.
Yeah, they don't know who to look out for or anything. They're just like, we know what people would... What we would be doing if we were surveilling someone. So we know how to be tails. So we should know how to shake tails. And Cammy makes it back to the exhibit, but as it turns out, she did not make it without a tail, because as she's walking there, she's approached by a teenage boy.
A cute boy
who is paying attention to her. Which seems to be her
kryptonite. Yes. And he
Cammy's
is like,
Cammy's just
oh,
like me for real.
Where are you going?
A cute boy pays attention to you.
Exactly. He's like, where are you going? What are you doing? Oh, you're hungry? Have some M&Ms. Oh, you're walking to meet your teacher? I'll come with you. And she's like, no, you really don't have to. Like, that's fine. She so does not realize that he's a tail. She has no clue. And he eventually, like, she does shake him and he leaves her outside. But then she gets to meet Mr. Solomon and she's like 1 minute late. And she's like, well, at least I don't have a tail. And it turns out she does, because the boy, the cute boy, Zach, followed her anyway. And he is her tail. And he goes, he's like, see ya, Galaga girl, at the end, which is what he calls her the entire book. And that really annoyed me. I thought it was stupid.
Well, but then she retorts back, nice to meet you, Blackthorn boy. And everyone's like, ooh, yeah. Because no one was supposed to know that they existed. And then it turns out that she knew. And I thought that that was a slay.
It was a little bit of a slay. She gets home. They've already told everyone about Blackthorn existing. Like, she immediately tells everyone. And then when they get back, they decide, you know what, screw it. We're going to go and hack into the East Wing and see what's going on. And they get in there and they find a bunch of new dorms. And they realize that boys are coming to the Gallagher Academy.
But crazy. Not a ton of boys. Only 15 boys end up coming. It's 15 boys across like 8th grade through what, like senior year? And
senior
we
year.
Only get to know 3 of them. And only one three of them of really them. Well.
Yeah. Really at all, I would say. Yeah. But the three sophomore boys are Jacob,
Zach, and Grant.
Why am I not? And Grant, yes. And Jacob is like nerdy and tall and skinny, and to me was like Michael Cera in my brain, if we're doing a fan cast. And then Grant is supposed to be like Brad Pitt's younger sibling. And then Zach is tall and handsome, but also annoying because he's super cocky and he outwitted Cammy the day prior and she's mad at him. And
they like each are paired off with, like, so you've got the exactly. nerdy one with Liz and you got the like buff physical one with Bex. And then you've got like the smart witty one with Cammy. And then Macy is like, I don't care about these boys. I've seen cuter boys. I've been to 19 high schools.
Exactly.
And then Cammy's like, I'm also not interested in this boy because I know what boys are like. I've had a boyfriend before. And I'm like, you had one boyfriend one time for like 3 months and he didn't even know.
And
if
he knew
you had
nothing about
pierced.
You. He knew nothing about you. Yeah. I mean, that was entertaining. She was like, we're immune. I was like, honey, you are not.
She's
immune.
Like, I'm so mature. I'm like, you're 15.
But then they proceed to like join them in all their classes and everything. They get assigned another COVOPS mission where they have to work on their their soft passes. I think it's what it's called.
I too make where they soft have, passes like, all the time. I'm like, soft pass.
Yes. Yeah. But it's basically where they're like hiding something. They're passing to each other and it's a quarter. And she gets paired off with Zach, shocker. And they're in downtown Roseville. And they're at the gazebo that she used to be with Josh at. And while they're there, who shows up but Josh? and his now apparent new girlfriend, Dee Dee.
Well, there are only so many people who live in this small town and only so many things to do. They have the barn dance, but like other than that, you just have to hang out at the soda fountain at your dad's pharmacy.
The way you talk about it, it makes it sound so bad. I don't think it's that bad.
No, it's cute. But like, of course you're going to run into him. Where else is he going to go?
It's 11 a.m. on a Friday.
I guess.
There's no reason for him to not be in school.
Yeah, go back to school.
But while they're there, so Cammy gets an order to pass the quarter that they're passing around on to Zach, but she's so like caught up in looking at Josh and talking to Josh and Dee Dee that she doesn't really acknowledge it. And so Zach comes up and he puts his hand in hers, like holding hands, but mainly just to get the quarter. But to Josh and Dee Dee, it makes it look like Cammy has also already moved on, which is not great. So Cammy's kryptonite really seems to be boys. And
she's just like me for real.
Yeah, but it's really not great when you are like, it just makes me think they always make a lot of James Bond references, which like I totally understand because like another pop culture spy thing. But like every single movie, the downfall that happens to every woman, every single woman that falls in love with James Bond dies.
Yeah, it's really gonna, especially considering the fact that like in Cammy's own personal life, romantic relationships run you the risk of your partner dying. And she's like, I can never, repeatedly in this book, she's like, I can never be with Josh because I chose to do the like field work course of study.
Yes.
Which is interesting that like she could never change her mind and get out of the fields. She's two more years before she graduates. She could never be like, actually, never mind upon graduation before she even starts working professionally.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff in this book that just does not make sense to be given to the pressure of a bunch of 15-year-olds. So much of this just is like kind of alarming to me, but I feel like we're really supposed to like put ourselves in her shoes. And like when you're 15, you think you know exactly what you want for the rest of your life. So like, I guess I get it.
Yeah. We also have to suspend the disbelief that this is a spy school for teenagers. So.
Yeah, exactly. But she is kind of shaken up by this interaction with Josh. Josh and Dee Dee had actually invited her and Zach to come to the like winter formal that Dee Dee is throwing for the high school the next Friday. And she actually considers it. She's like, what if I went and like brought Zach and like showed Josh how over him I was, which we all know totally works. Not. turns out she's not going to get to do that anyway because her mom surprises her with a dress because they're having a ball / test competition exam the next Friday instead. And all the girls get to wear gowns and all the boys have to wear tuxedos. And the way that the one thing that's really funny to me is the way that Cammy talks about clothes is so annoying because she's like, I'm not supposed to dress up. I'm supposed to be like someone who's crawling through the rafters. And I'm like, honey, every spy movie ever, the spies are in tuxedos.
Yeah, that's like, part of the uniform. You have to be able to cut your dress into a short dress and then be able to run in your high heels so that you can get into the rafters. How? What building do you think the rafters are in? It's at the party.
If you are dressed like you're going to climb in rafters, they're not going to let you in the party.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't work that way. So
she should learn about spying from us.
She should learn about spying from us or all of the movies we've watched. But she gets to this ball and they're all given like alternate identities. And hers is Tiffany, who is the
assistant to the undersecretary of
Interior, which is a real thing. And it felt very DC to read, but it's like some people are like, oh, you're the child of a famous Italian mobster and you're on the run from the Italian mob. So you have to avoid this person, like all this stuff, which is kind of cute. But it turns out that like whoever Zach is like supposed to flirt with everyone in the room. So she's just watching Zach dance with everyone else in the room. And Zach has made his disdain for having to learn how to dance pretty well known. And so she's like kind of annoyed with, she's already very annoyed with Zach and how he's kind of like taken over her life and not really given her any answers or straight lines. And so that is kind of coupled upon by the fact that he asks her to dance finally. She's been watching him the whole night. And as he does, he dips her down and her strapless bra, as they always do. Strapless bras never work, girls.
I had one strapless bra that was my perfect, awesome strapless bra.
Yes.
It worked amazing. And then I left it in the apartment that I was subletting when I lived in DC, and then never got it back.
RIP. The strapless bra that is my strapless bra is the one I wore on my wedding day and will probably be the one I like use for... You only use it every once in a while, but...
Yeah, it's an event bra,
they're
for sure.
So useful. Exactly. Cammie's obviously did not fit her right because it immediately goes around her waist and she's like, I gotta get out of this room so I can fix this bra before it falls out of my dress. So she is panicking trying to leave this room. And people do not want to let her leave. Like, the teachers are like, no, you can't leave. It's an exam. What are you doing? And she's like, this is the most mortifying thing ever. I'm like, honey, if you tell one of your female teachers that your strapless bra is falling off, they're going to understand.
And, like, some people do understand that it's, like, a clothing emergency. But then she keeps getting stopped by person after person. And I'm like, at this point, just kick off the strapless bra. And, like, who cares? You're never going to see these boys again. And then every girl who's in this house is someone you've lived with for the past 3 years and will continue to live with. Like, going to an all-girls school, you have that benefit.
Yeah, exactly. But she doesn't do that. She instead finds a secluded corner where she goes to think by the tapestry of the Gallagher girl, like, of the Jillian Gallagher family tree, which we know has the secret entrance to the tunnel leading outside of the complex behind it. But she knows that, and then other people don't know that. Zach is already there. Suspicious. By the time he's there, he's like, yeah, I kind of figured you would come here because this is where you go to think. And she's like, can you go away? The, like, bra is flapping around her knees. She's, like, so over it. And they start talking, and she's like, just wants him to leave. And then as they're talking, and she feels like she's finally going to get, like, some real information from him, a code black goes off.
Worse than red. So code red is for external threats. And then code black is for ominously titled enemies. So not just like people you don't know. It's like people you do know and you do not fuck with.
Exactly. And so she's panicking. Zach's panicking. They're trying to get back to where everybody else is. The bra has since fallen out of her dress and she's ditched it. She's left it there.
Yeah.
It's there. It's gone. Honey, if you didn't need it, why wear it anyway?
Well, when you're 15, you just sort of like do things because you think you're supposed to.
True. They're trying to get back to the Great Hall, which is where the ball is being thrown. They're obviously struggling because all of these like doors are slamming down and like tripwires are going up and like things full of documents are like catching a fire.
Yeah.
They're trying to get back. And by the time they do get back, Zach has somehow disappeared. And so Cammie is left walking back in alone. And everyone automatically assumes that she's the one who set off the alarm because she was trying to go to the dance with Josh.
And then nobody believes that she didn't try to do that. And yes. I mean, like, her mom believes her, but everyone else is starting to spread rumors. And then she's like, no, you can ask Zach. I was with him. And then he denies it. He's like,
he goes, why would I be with her?
Yeah. And it's like, first of all, you've been flirting with her this entire time. So don't act like you wouldn't have been with her. Don't be ridiculous. And then his excuse is like, well, I thought that you wouldn't want people to know. And it's like, obviously she wants people to know because otherwise she wouldn't have said it. Take what women say at face value. Idiot.
Yeah. That pissed me off. That really annoyed me. I was like, this guy sucks.
He's playing like 3D checkers though. And so the girls are starting to get even more suspicious of these boys. And what do they do? But they decide to bug their dorms. Classic. I wish I could.
They haven't even taken a class on how to do audio surveillance yet.
But they've done it in the field by bugging Josh's house. And they're like, how more difficult could it be to bug the rooms of all these spy boys? And I'm like,
He's a civilian.
He's a civilian. And also your house is a spy fortress, which you know is literally locked down immediately at like the flick of a switch. So yeah, I wonder. And also they're trained to know how to track for spy stuff.
Exactly.
So yeah, it's going to be more difficult. And then it inevitably is.
Because Zach catches them. Well, he doesn't catch them. He asks Cammie. Well, Cammie is like, okay, now the rule is I have to get closer to them. And so she asks him for help on a project. He agrees. They sit down and he goes, oh, did you bug anyone else recently? And he like shows her that he caught, he like has one of the bugs that he found. And she's like, and he only found one, but she's like, she knows there are more. But it turns out that he just left other bugs around, and he's like too good of, and every time he lies to her, she goes, "You lied to me." And he points at himself. He goes, "Spy." And I'm just like,
ugh, you're both so spies. Annoying. You're not special for being a spy. You're all spies.
You're at school for being a spy. Like, just tell her the truth.
So, and you know what's really bad is like the way that he lies about his parents. You want to elaborate on that? Because we know that Cammy's got a dead dad, and that really fucks her up.
Cammy has the dead dad.
Yeah.
And she asks, I can't remember where they were talking, but I think she asks Zach and is like, "Well, I'll tell you about my family if you tell me about yours." And he says like, "Oh yeah, like I used to have both my parents and now I don't, or they used to be both ex-CIA and now they're not," or like, and Cammy is like, "Well, I'll tell you about my dad. He was lost in like in action and nobody ever knows what happens." And he was like, "Well, someone does know."
Which is true.
And I'm just like, which it's true, but it breaks her apart. Like, it's her fault that she hasn't figured out why her dad's dead. And like, she's not doing enough to figure out. She's 15, bro.
That's not necessarily how I read it. I read it as like, people are...
She goes into the wall to start crying her way back to the
dorm. Absolutely how she interpreted it. And I'm not... Just because it's how she interpreted it is not me saying that she's wrong for doing that. I'm saying that maybe that's not how he intended it. And how I read it, and this is supported by like further action in the book, is that like... Adults in your life are not telling you the entire truth, and you need to get on board with the fact that like people are lying to you. People in your life, people you care about and are supposed to trust, are lying to you. And we figure that out pretty quickly after that.
I think that if your parents aren't telling you the full truth as a 15-year-old, that's their right.
No, I'm not saying it's not their right, but like she's like, "Nobody knows what happened." And he's like, "Somebody knows." And that's true. Somebody does.
I just don't think that's... Yeah, but I just don't think that's what you do when someone tells you about their dad dying.
I'm not disagreeing. I think that he was being callous about it, but I also don't think that he was intending to blame her for not knowing. Maybe I'm just a Zach apologist. I'm a Zach apologist. I'm sorry.
I think you are. Courtney is into Zach. Annoying.
Might be.
Anyway, he ignores her for a couple of weeks. This book takes place over a long period of time.
Yeah, the timeline was a little confusing.
I did not realize until the end of it.
The timeline was a bit confusing because it's supposed to be like, oh, the test that they had, but the dance and everything was like a final. But then they continue to stick around for quite a while.
Yeah, it's confusing. They ignore each other for a couple of weeks, it said. And then out of nowhere, he slips her a note on a Vapo paper, which is the paper that they use at the school, that... like washes away in the rain. And the note is asking her out on a date to a movie the next time they're in Roseville for like a school break. And all the girls tell her that she has to go do it. She's like, "I don't even like this guy. He's mean. He's not a nice guy." And they're like, "You know what? It's okay if you actually like him." And so she ends up going and getting ready for this date, which is also a covert mission because they're still treating it like they're trying to figure out more information about him. And they get there. And once again, like, this seems to be a theme in the last book where she didn't go to the movies with Josh. She doesn't go to the movies with Zach. And instead, they just decide to go on a walk. And they run into Josh and Dee Dee, of course. And while they're walking, Cammy notices that they've got a tail. Basically, someone is tailing them. He is in a reversible coat, so he can, like, switch it around when he's getting, like, closer to them. Also, previously in the book, they practiced using one of the new technologies, which is a mood ring that also tells when other people are lying to you. And Cammy's still wearing it on this mission, or not mission, you know, on this trip. So
the girl loves an accessory.
She does. She can tell when Zach is lying, which it turns out is when she brings up the tail and is like, I feel like I've seen him before. And he's like, "Oh, I've never seen that person in my life." And she can tell that Zach is lying. So she's like, Zach is in on it. So she rushes back to campus. No one's there. Her mom's not there. And she sees their I guess math teacher, Mr. Moskowitz, limping down the hallway, covered in blood, and apparently the boys got away with the alumni list for the Gallagher Academy.
Yeah, it's literally like WikiLeaks. All those people,
yeah. Yeah, it's bad. It's like it's worse than WikiLeaks. It's like every single covert op who'd been at that school in the last, you know, 50 years is on that list.
Yeah.
And so they're like, oh my God, we have to find them. How do we do this? And it turns out that the trackers that they put in the boys' clothes, which they did still do, like that were still on there, are still active. And so they were like, okay, we're going to track these boys. They escape the school once again. It is still on a code black lockdown. So, you know, takes some doing. And they get to another abandoned, like, area.
Yeah,
like,
full of abandoned stuff. Old abandoned,
Roseville
old abandoned
sounds
building.
Like it sucks. Yeah, Roseville sounds like it's kind of a dump. So another abandoned building, but this one has motion sensors around the exterior, and it's, you know, it's super protected. They end up, you know, getting in, like, you know, similarly to how they did last book. And when they get in, they're sneaking in, and they and Cammy runs into Zach.
Dun, dun, dun. Again, dun. Another one.
Same one over again, sort of very similar. And he's like, Zach's like, I didn't know that they were going to do this. You know, we had nothing. We had no part in this. It was our headmaster, Dr. Steve.
Yeah. Who... Okay. So we haven't talked a lot about Dr. Steve, but Dr. Steve is the headmaster from Blackthorn, and he has a PhD, and his last name is like Scruggins or something.
Stevenson or something.
But his first name is Steve. And so he's like, call me Dr. Steve. And whenever people try and refer to him as like Dr., his actual last name, he's like, Dr. Steve. Trying to be very chill.
He's also like small and portly and like kind of a goof.
And he's trying too hard to like relate to everyone and like be the chill, yes, fun guy. And everyone at Gallagher is like all uptight and has a stick up their ass. And so by comparison, they're like, we would never have suspected Dr. Steve.
Don't say it like that, Courtney. Dr. Steve, the nefarious evil man.
I mean, they're all spies.
Inside this building. He's inside this building, and he's waiting on what they figure out to be a plane to come and take him away so he can give away.
They don't have the airspace. The plane thing was very... I mean, they've been using a lot, yeah, of helicopters in this, and so I'm like, okay, helicopter. Yes.
But it was a plane, so they're trying to get to Dr. Steve before the plane lands. And this happens by, like, Bex accidentally shoves a guy off a roof and he yells, they're here! And so, you know, their cover is lost and they just immediately start slapping those, like, pass-outy patches on people.
Yeah, it's like the nicotine patches, but for making people pass out.
And so she ends up, and Zach ends up, like, intercepting people and, like, teaming up with her, and she ends up getting to Dr. Steve and, like, stopping him on the way. And she's like, you're too late. And then Bex makes him pass out. And they're like, you would have never gotten away with it. And then out of the plane, out steps her mom and Mr. Solomon.
It was all a test.
I'm just like, what?
It's the exact same plot as before.
It's the same plot as before.
Except with sexier boys.
And it was all, well, I think it's interesting because I feel like in the first one, it was all about being a covert operator. And in this one, it was all about like catching other covert operators, mm-hmm, like, you know, that counter surveillance was the theme of book two.
And it's interesting because at the end, Cammy's mom, Rachel, is like, this was to teach you to work together. And I'm like, no, it really wasn't. It was to teach you to not trust anybody.
Exactly. But their whole thing was like, we needed you to learn how to be around boys for a semester because of how bad you handled Josh.
And also, this didn't teach them how to be around boys. They acted crazy the entire time.
They did. And like the whole, and every time Cammy messed up was because boys were around. Like, maybe 15 is too young to be around boys.
Yeah. Or maybe it should have been an integrated school the entire time if they wanted to act like boys were no big deal. Like, it could have gone either way. But like, either way that they did it, they did not do a very good job. And it, like, what was the point? Didn't.
Especially because then the boys leave.
It kind They're of gone. Sounds like the Blackthorn School, in my headcanon, the Blackthorn School, they like abduct babies and like raise them from birth in like barracks, like somewhere shitty.
It does make me feel like maybe the school is shitty, but I also had an idea that the school maybe sort of doesn't exist and that these are just like random covert operators that they kind of got together and like made a fake school.
But like, how did they train them if they're already covert operators?
I don't know. But to me, the weird thing was like all their uniforms were like brand new.
The best case scenario I can think about their uniforms being brand new, which I do admit they, like everyone said, was suspicious, is the fact that like maybe they wanted, they came from such a shitty school that they were like, we have to look nice when we go to the girls' school.
Maybe they like wear prison uniforms at the
church. Or just like they roll around in the mud all the time, like boys in the woods. And so then they're like, crap, we have to get new uniforms because we look bad.
Maybe. I don't know. I wonder if we'll see. Apparently we're going to see more of Zach next book because he's like related to Mr. Solomon or something.
Yeah. See, I was definitely like, he's too old to be Mr. Solomon's son, but there is some, like, there's a conspiracy. I conspire about it.
I don't know. But if Mr. Solomon was Cammy's dad's best friend and Cammy is 15.
Yeah, I guess. I guess I think of him as like just being younger because he's so hot. But I guess Cammy's mom is hot.
I guess we'll see.
Yeah. I think we're definitely going to see like a final, like a, it's going to be a love triangle that they're clearly setting up between the Josh shippers and the Zach shippers. And then at the end of the series is going to be some sort of decision about who Cammy ends up with.
I think it'll be neither because she's going to choose her career.
I hope so. But if it's not that, 15. Then I hope that, well, she'll be 18 then.
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
But if she can't be by herself, then I hope it's with Zach. Sorry. Cry about well, it, Josh Zach, shippers.
I don't ship either of them.
I'm thinking about
it to be, you know what
names.
I want it to be?
What?
I want it to be that there's a new boy every book.
Hilarious.
I would love that because that's what it feels like so far.
Yeah, we're 2 for 2 on new boys, new books.
I think that'd be great. New boy every book.
Yeah.
I'm just 7 books, their, like, 7 boys.
They're couple-y names, you know? Jammy.
Jammy.
Zammy.
That's cute.
Jammy is cuter than Zammy, I'll give you that.
But it could also be Cat.
See, that sucks. That's a horrible couple name.
It's really bad. Or Cash, which is Cammy and Josh, which is already also better.
Yeah, either way. So their couple names for Cammy and Josh better, but like their chemistry is nothing. He's like, I'm not going to brag on.
The first boy she'd ever spoken to.
I don't care.
Anyway.
She has TV. Okay.
Courtney, do you have a fashion fave from this book?
Yeah, I think it's hard to decide. Do you have one that you have like on top of mind? Because I have to think about it.
I mean, like you could go easy with Cammy's dress.
Yeah, exactly. But like their whole, like each girl gets their own dress, little montage-y bit on the stairs, I think is always so nice.
Was also very fun.
Yeah.
Also very fun.
So Cammy's is like red really and strapless. And then Bex's is black and strappy.
Mm-hmm. I liked the accessories as well. The like their culture and cultural appreciation professor has a shawl with a diamond brooch that is also a camera. I thought that was pretty fun.
Assimilation. So Josh makes fun of like them having the culture class. Yes. And she's like, it's because we have to assimilate. But then Cammy is like, why am I going to need to wear a dress? And it's like, so you can assimilate. What's the whole point, Cammy?
Exactly. Maybe she just bugs me this book. I don't know. I can't tell. But I guess we'll see. I think Cammy's dress, she wears, her mom gifts her this long, flowy, red, strapless dress. It's an Empire waist. It's the first nice dress she's ever gotten from her mom because her mom usually gives her, like, I don't know, grappling hooks for Christmas. Some shit like that. So she's like, it's the first time my mom has ever gotten me a dress when most little girls get dresses from their moms all the time. And I was like, okay, well, that's kind of sweet. So I guess that's my fashion moment.
Okay. I think mine is probably going to be what, like, Dee Dee's all pink accessories when she first runs into Cammy yeah. and the girls in town.
Yeah.
Dee Dee's wearing, like, a pink hat and pink mittens and a pink scarf. And it's just so Dee Dee. And I love that.
I feel like Dee Dee has a little pixie cut because they say that, like, her little blonde wispies peek out from underneath her hat, which I think is really cute.
Yeah.
She's also like, Dee Dee is like a girl's girl. Dee Dee is happy that Cammy is happy. She's so excited to see Cammy with Zach because she's like, oh my God, Cammy's not upset. She wants to be there for Cammy. She goes with Cammy to the restroom. Like she is there for the girls. And we love that for her.
Yeah. She's absolutely a girl's girl. Like she would absolutely have a tampon for you anytime you need it, even if she wasn't on her period.
Yes, she's amazing. We stand Dee Dee. That's who I would like to join the Gallagher girls.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
You know who else I ship?
Who? Mr. Solomon and... Huh?
I was going to say Marcy and Bex, but yeah, Mr. Solomon and Rachel is good.
I don't know. I just think that's bound to happen, right?
Yeah, like, no, it's definitely like they both lost someone very important to them in Cammy's dad. And so they're going to bond over that. And he will eventually become a father figure to Cammy, even though he can never replace her dad.
He's still a dick.
Yeah, but he's a dick because like he's learning how to be around kids.
Eh, I think he's bad at it. But whatever. I don't know. We'll see.
All the other teachers are much better at like being parental figures, though. But they've also had lots of
even
training.
Even Mr. Smith is even, but like Mr. Smith is even still a teacher. Yeah. Like Mr. Solomon's like kind of just a dick.
He hasn't been a teacher for like even a year yet, though. So I'm giving him a certain amount of grace here.
Fine. I will take your grace. We will see what happens next book.
I just think about all of those like early 2000s or like even 1980s movies where it's like the hot young teacher who comes in and he's like, I'm going to be different. I'm going to not teach from the textbook.
Fair. We'll see. Courtney, tell me, what was your State of the Union for the week? What was your in and your out?
My in is my new purse. I got a really good deal on a Gucci Dionysus purse from The RealReal. I've been hearing a lot of the RealReal slander recently, which has gotten me nervous. Too. But when you find a bag that retails for a lot of money, like at least like a comma, and you find it for less than a comma.
Wow.
You're gonna get it. And I did. And yeah. I can fit.
I don't care if it's fake.
I can fit two books in there. That's great.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is great.
I have a hardcover.
Less than a comma.
I have a hardcover book or copy of this book, and I can fit it plus like tons of other stuff in there. So that's awesome. It was. I mean, it's not in perfect condition. It's like suede, and so it's definitely worn. And I think it's like.
But I do kind of appreciate that because yeah. Then you don't feel scared to wear it.
That's how I feel about Golden Goose sneakers.
Yeah. Fair.
It's like, well, I don't feel weird about scuffing up these $400 sneakers because they're already scuffed. So.
David and I went, okay, well, that's your in. What's your out?
Right. My out is going to be, I had something in mind that was like so, oh, you know what my out is? My out is the new recommendations for the GW mascot.
Oh God, what are they? I haven't even looked yet.
Oh, okay. Here, I'll read it to you. I saw it on Twitter and I had to quote bad. You. They're so bad. There are some that are worse than others, but like none of them are standouts.
Oh, God.
Why
couldn't we have been the hippos?
I don't know. I don't know why we couldn't have been
that. That was the best one.
The hippos was really good. And if we couldn't have been the hippos, I would have been down for Continentals. But instead, our options are...
God, I just looked them up now. It's the Ambassadors, the Blue Fog, Catalysts, Fireworks, Independence, Monumentals, Revolutionaries, Sentinels, Squad, and Truth.
Yeah, they're horrible. I hate
them.
My top three worst are Truth, Squad, and Independence. Because Truth...
Yeah, Independence is bad.
Yeah, the GW Squad sounds like the off-brand of the Colonial Cabinet, so I hate that. And then the Truth and the Squad sound like what publications YAF would make. Like, they'd be like, we need a newspaper YAF. So we're the GW Truth. Or whatever. Truth.
Oh my God.
And then Blue Fog. I don't know where the hell that came from. It's so random. But then every time I read it, I think it's saying Blue Frog. And I'm like, are we the frogs?
I wouldn't hate that. The Blue Fog is the worst, is the least bad one.
I think the least bad one to me, probably the Revolutionaries. It's long, but
it's too long.
That'd be kind of cute.
But we can't be Revs because then you've got Rebs and...
But nobody would... Like, we would never play against Ole Miss for anything.
I think the Catalysts is fun.
It's fun, but like...
The fireworks is bad.
The fireworks is bad, but it's cute at least.
Sentinels could be good.
I think someone is the Sentinels already.
But I think we're not going to get something original here. I think we're just going to have to get something...
Fireworks is original.
It's bad. I hate it.
You got to get the right balance between horrible and original.
I mean, the first college I went to was like the White Mules, which they're now just the Mules. So like, I don't have a great track record there.
Yeah.
But the NESCAC is known for having weird mascots.
And so I like that. Like, that's a fun thing.
Why didn't we lean into the weird? I don't know. I just feel like the hippo would have made more sense.
I think it's because they didn't want to alienate students of a larger size.
Okay. As a fairly fat person, I think it would have been okay to be the hippos.
I think it would have been cute. Already got the statue.
Exactly, which is why I don't understand. Whatever. Anyway.
Yeah, okay, so that's my out. I agree with
you. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and double down, and that is also my out because it's upsetting.
Thank you.
Okay, validation there.
Yeah.
You'll be very intrigued to know my in. I've had it in my head for a couple of days now because I was so vehement about it, and it's going to be controversial, so I want you to, like, get ready for it. My in is I bought one of those Verst headbands, the bubble headbands.
Okay.
The terry cloth bubble headbands girls on TikTok are using for get ready with me's.
Okay.
And I love it. I love it.
What it's do you great. Love about
it's
it?
So great. It's made of like a towel material. It's terry cloth. So it like, if you get it wet, it like absorbs.
Okay. So like when it's you're washing your keeping, face.
That's what I use it for. Okay. So, and it keeps all your baby hairs off your face because it like grabs them, but it also doesn't dent your hair.
Okay.
Well, but it doesn't dent your hair. So like I've got really fine hair, and when I wear headbands, a lot of the times they'll leave like dents in my hair. So I can't wear them when I'm getting ready. So it's the perfect like getting ready or getting unready for the day headband because it keeps my hair off my face and it doesn't dent my hair and it doesn't like, I don't have to worry about like getting it wet or dirty or anything. And I love it. Mm-hmm. So, but there's been like all those jokes of people putting like airplane like neck pillows on their head being like, get ready with me to walk my dog. Like, and I'm just like, you know what? I like my big bubble headband. It's fun.
Good for you.
So there's there. Anyway.
I would say that's way less controversial than literally any of the recommended team names.
Exactly. But I don't know. The kids on TikTok probably will disagree with me. They'll probably say I look stupid. But I don't care.
Okay.
Because I like it.
Great.
Courtney, what is next week's book?
Next week's book is, I have it. Actually, I don't have it. My book did not have the like little preview of the next.
Oh, mine did.
It did. I should
just pull that up.
It's Don't Judge a Girl by Her Cover, right?
Yes, that is what it is. In the meantime, while we're reading that book, where can they find us, Courtney?
They can find us on Twitter at WittyPod, on Instagram at WittyCommitteePod, on TikTok at WittyCommitteePod, right, Claire?
Yeah. We've had a lot of people viewing and favoriting our TikToks recently, which you have not seen, but I love that.
Yay.
People are really liking our hot take on Lily Moskowitz. So if you also agree that Lily Moskowitz sucks and is a bad friend and you're listening on Apple Podcasts, you can leave us a little rating, review, or subscribe. It really helps us out. We hope you guys join us next week as we continue to judge the Mean Girl right back one book at a time. Bye.
Go Buff.